Welcome back to Tip TV Finance. I'm joined now by my co-host Charlie Gibson, head of mining for Edison Research, and by our special guest Peter Watson from Watson's Wi-Fi. How are you today, Peter?
Hello, very well, thank you, as always.
Right, this is allegedly the lighter part of the Tip TV offering.
Absolutely, light. It's impactful with some levity.
Right.
I like to think about it. Yeah.
Okay. What's that? What's that? It's like a souffle, isn't it? It's a souffle part of the offering, isn't it? Really?
That's correct.
What, I provide before the collapse, or what?
I always like to provide the cheese.
It tastes good. Yeah, is it a cheese souffle or is it a strawberry souffle?
Cheese. Right. So what's on your mind at the moment?
Right. So interesting week as always. Weeks generally are very interesting. So we've learned that world debt has hit new highs or lows, even depending which way you look at it. $152 trillion, which makes my overdraft look actually.
How do they know?
Sorry?
How do they know? They just go around different banks and check people's...
They probably do, yeah. They say, look, how much debt have you got? Okay.
Who's holding the equivalent asset on the other side? Who's holding all of that? That's all I want to
know. Gold.
Who's got... I don't think it is.
It's probably Zach. But anyway, apart from that, we had the Conservative Party conference telling us that we're in for a hard Brexit and signing Article 50 by the end of March next year, which then had the impact on sterling, where it was trading at below, was it 31 years lowest or whatever. Then we've had interesting consolidation within the fund management industry. What with Henderson and Janus, and I think that's quite interesting. Obviously, they're getting together in order to cut costs, and you do wonder whether that's going to continue within the industry itself, which I would have thought it will. Then you've got more job losses in European banks. So you have ING announcing depending on which headline you read, 5,000 or 7,000, people going in the next few years, and that's in addition to all the Deutsche stuff as well. So
where will these people go?
Small advisory boutiques is where they normally go to, isn't it?
If banking's dead, then where do they go?
It's tough.
Long live the banks.
Yeah.
They rise again. They just, starts as a small advisory boutique, then it grows into a stock.
Are these the little people, or the people like the ones with the fat salaries and everything else?
Well, I believe that they're more the branch, people who work in branches. So it's got, retail banking.
Ones who don't want to talk to you.
But I always go to them, actually, because I always think, I'm trying to support your jobs. So I won't go to the machine, I will go to you, because I want to help them, you see. That's how nice I am. Anyway, apart from that, in the automotive world, you've got strong demand in the UK for the next 66 plates. No doubt you've ordered your Bentley already. Aston Martin, of course. Sorry.
I think they tried to do away with that whole number plate game.
Yeah,
they rotate them twice a year or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I mean, it seems to be very popular anyway. Obviously, another little sign as to the health of the UK consumer. In the US, actually, the last month was slightly weaker sales. But despite that, Tesla, who I obviously like talking about every now and again, they actually had their record quarter. So well done them. But then again, it is from a small a low base.
And Goldman Sachs, I think, has just gone negative on them, haven't they?
They may well have done.
I think they have. They're having been a strong supporter thus far, all the way through. They suddenly said,
Interesting. So, apart from that, though, I thought, in terms of a theme, this week I thought there was some interesting stuff on Twitter versus Facebook versus Snapchat. So Twitter, at the beginning of the week, was looking like a winner. It had these potential buyers lined up. So you had Google, you had Disney, and you had Salesforce all lined up. Now, I think it would be fair to say that Google and Disney didn't actually admit officially to being interested, but they put the kibosh on any speculation yesterday. As a result, the shares fell quite a long way, and so it looks like Salesforce is the last one in the musical chairs competition.
He's not very keen either.
Doesn't seem like it, or maybe that's a negotiating
tactic. Mark Bentioff doesn't like it.
Yeah. So interesting to see Twitter's fortunes. Obviously, Jack Dorsey, co-founder, came back a little while ago to try and turn things around. It doesn't seem to have worked. And then, and then we're in this situation. Contrast that with Snapchat. Snapchat's looking at a $25 billion valuation. Good luck with that. But if it does actually happen, it will be the biggest US stock market flotation since Alibaba's rather larger $168 billion IPO that happened in 2014. But the interesting thing here is that the CEO, Evan Spiegel, will feel very justified and probably quite smug, really, because Facebook tried to buy them by Snapchat for a paltry $3 billion a few years ago. So he's probably feeling pretty good about himself right now, I would imagine.
I don't want to, rain on anyone's parade. Do they actually make any money? I'm curious.
I wouldn't have thought so. I can't see how they would, particularly.
No, I suppose it isn't just that. No. You're going to get a $128 billion valuation or a $25 billion valuation. Why do you need to worry about that?
Exactly. Yeah. A minor thing. Yeah. So then you contrast that with Facebook. So this week they've launched two new services. They've got a Facebook marketplace. That's right. So that's the idea of that is to take on eBay. So I believe on Facebook, what marketplace does is it finds out people who are selling things in your vicinity. And then it kind of works like that. So anyway, that's it's trying to introduce a new thing there. They've also introduced something called Messenger Lite as well, which is Messenger, but it's a lighter version. You see what I did there?
Yeah.
It's interesting. But anyway,
so I'm glad you're talking to us about technology because we're exactly the right audience.
Brilliant.
Snapchat, I know exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure. No. So anyway, the reason why that is good is because it works with phones that are lower spec. And also on network, it's intended also for networks that are slower than our network. So I think that's a very good, couple of good developments for Facebook, because obviously that will increase their geographical coverage, into different countries, etc. So I think that's probably quite a good idea.
You just text somebody.
We could do, yeah. But what do you want to do that for when you've got your Snapchatting?
Or
you
delivery bearer. Always works.
Exactly.
Pigeon. And a wig and
Or maybe one of those, a pigeon, perhaps.
It's no use to anyone, that message you like.
But, well, who knows? I mean, it's losing out to other providers, so it's just trying to up its game in that area. But the other thing as well, it's not all sunshine and rainbows for Facebook, because they bought Oculus Virtual Reality. When was that? Was it last year or the year before? And Oculus Rift, those goggle things that aren't waterproof, I don't think. those virtual reality goggles. They're not doing particularly well at the moment. They're Oculus Rift ones. They've suffered all sorts of problems in that they were introduced at a price that was higher than was expected, and there were all sorts of other bits and pieces. And they weren't actually helped either by the founder of Oculus Virtual Reality, a guy called Palmer Luckey, which is a great name. he wasn't so lucky because someone found out he donated $10,000 to a pro-Trump party. So
nothing worse than that. I thought you were going to. I mean, that is just morally repugnant, isn't it?
Well, there you go. But anyway,
I would have thought actually there should be a good market for these virtual reality goggles amongst politicians generally.
Yeah.
I mean, and there must be a few campaign advisors as well. Yep. You want to put a few of these, a few Europeans.
Yeah.
I think I might be a buyer of these shares actually.
Okay. There you go. So that's all very interesting. And the point of all that really is to see whether the contrasting fortunes in social media, in terms of what I would say are one-trick ponies like Twitter and like Snapchat. And then you've got Facebook, which has obviously been around for a bit longer and is trying to then buy in the different capabilities to make you want to stick with them. So I would have thought, surely, it seems to me, this kind of thing seems to suggest to me that really the future is in, if you've got one of these social media companies that does one thing very well, you'd want to sell up and then just go off to your island because... you're unlikely to survive on your own.
You start adding. You buy bolt-ons. There's only two. There's two.
Yeah, yes.
Well, you either buy or get bored, I suppose.
Yeah. But you can't stay as you are.
So there you go. That's the excitement for the week.
Right. Okay. Well, that's all you've got.
Well, no. There's something else as well. I mean, I would say that we all like a bit of a motivational quote on a daily basis to get us started, don't we?
Yes.
Of course we did.
Excellent. Really. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that.
Well, I'm so worried.
I look to your Twitter feed every day for that.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, the thing is that the, think of spare thought for the poor old Reverend Bob Marshall in Buckley in North Wales.
Anyone who's a reverend in North Wales wants to spare a thought.
Now, he was caught out when he put this sign outside his church. Now, how would you interpret that, Zach?
Well, given that I want to keep my job, probably in a very neutral way, I would say that it was basically somewhat unfortunate.
Yes.
And also that, as he's obviously a man of the cloth,
yes,
he was probably not necessarily aware of the other interpretation.
I don't think that doesn't follow.
That is an excellent idea. Now,
is he Church of England or is he? Is he non-conformist?
Church of North Wales. I don't know. But the thing
makes
is,
makes a difference.
But the main point though here is that Bob, Reverend Bob, let's call him Reverend Bob, right? So Reverend Bob is actually American, and his point here, what he was trying to get across,
he sounds non-conformist already.
What he was trying to say was, you should be forgiving instead of being angry, i.e. the whole spitting, etc. So he did not realise his error in the whole sort of difference between American English and the Queen's English and the possibility for double entendres. So that was rather unfortunate. Now,
I think hallelujah.
He does.
I disagree. I think whatever way you interpret that, it's good.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, he does sound like a bit of a... He sounds like a good
guy.
A card. This Reverend Bob.
He's obviously a trendy vicar type.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. But
does he have a dog collar?
Who knows? But anyway, he puts other signs up outside his church. One of them, which I think is great, honk if you love Jesus, text whilst driving if you want to meet him. But anyway, with regards to this particular instance, he came up with another fantastic quote, and he said, "The Lord helped me take it down because the wind blew it down." So there you go. I mean, what a great story.
I'm not sure I understand that. Can you explain that to me afterwards? Peter Watson from Watson's Wi-Fi, thank you very much for your contributions today.
No problem.
We'll be back after the break.